Matthew chapter 18 in your Bible this evening. We'll begin here and then we'll go to some verses in the book of Acts after that. But Matthew chapter 18 verses 19 and 20 will be the springboard, shall we say, for the message this evening. And I trust that the message will be a blessing and a challenge to us tonight. We're going to talk about prayer the next few Sunday nights, Lord willing. We'll probably next week, and then we'll skip the picnic day, and we'll be after that again, probably at least one more week. But we're going to look at prayer, not just prayer in general, but prayer as it relates to praying together as a church. And thinking about prayer here from Matthew chapter 18, and then in the book of Acts, as we see the church and how the church prayed often together. I'm persuaded that one of the most neglected areas of the Christian life is prayer. I think that prayer is probably the thing that Christians have the greatest opportunity to do, but use the least as far as that opportunity goes. What a privilege it is as Christians to be able to talk to God. God the Creator, God Almighty, God our Savior, we get to talk to Him. And yet, so often, rather than have that as in our thoughts as being a privilege, we consider it to be a chore. We consider it to be something that, oh yeah, I suppose I should pray. And so the potential that we have to impact the direction of society and the affairs of this world is neglected by Christians. I'm persuaded that that is the case in my own life, but I'm also persuaded in talking to other Christians, whether new Christians or people who've been Christians for a long time, it's an area that's lacked. It's an area that we lack in doing. God's given us this privilege and opportunity, but we leave that resource untapped. Again, we often consider it to be boring, perhaps obligatory, inconsequential sometimes is the way we think about prayer. Sadly, those things, and we may not voice those things. We may say, oh, I would never say that, but by our actions, by the way we treat it, we often consider it to be that way. Having said that, and thinking about the messages for the next few weeks, I believe that one of the most neglected services of the church is meeting. That midweek service where we meet for prayer. Sometimes we have had in the past where we plan on meeting for prayer before the evening service, and we haven't done that for a while. But again, often those times are neglected. There are times when people think, oh well, I don't know whether we'll bother going to that. Talking to Christians and pastors, the theme of prayer meeting attendance being neglected is not just here, but it's Christianity-wide, shall we say, for the most part. A lot of Christians miss that. A lot of churches miss out. The prayer meeting is the least attended service of the church. We prioritize Sunday morning, typically. That's typically become our, well, if I go to church, I'll be there for Sunday morning. And then we put, if I can make it Sunday night, I'll be there Sunday night. And then Wednesday night is, well, we'll see how it goes. And don't get me wrong, I understand that we all have different schedules and not everyone is able to meet, be at every meeting, regardless of whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There's work schedules, there's illness, there's all kinds of different things. And I'm not saying that if you're not at all three churches, you're a backslidden wretch. Don't get me wrong, that's not what we're getting at here. But what we're talking about is the typical thought in our mind, the thought process in our mind is, I aim to be at church Sunday morning. That's my day where I feel like I should be at church Sunday morning. And Sunday night, yes, somewhat, and then Wednesday night, lesser so. And that's just our human nature, our tendency as Christians. That just tends to be the way that it is. Sometimes having seen that and thought of that, and even as a pastor, I sometimes, is it worth the effort to have Wednesday night? Do people feel like they have to come because the pastor's going to be there thinking, oh, if we don't go, he's going to be disappointed that we're there? Should we make people feel obligated, as it were? And in some way, sometimes we feel that way as Christians. We think, well, I should go because they'll miss me if I'm not there. And that accounts for all the church services, but particularly it seems like on the Wednesday night. Sometimes I think, well, is it worth the effort? Could it be that the decline in the spirituality of society and church attendance in general and the effect of Christianity is due to reduced emphasis on the prayer meeting? Could it be that we have declined in our church attendance on Sunday morning and Sunday night because we gave up the prayer meeting too easily, and therefore we're not praying like we should for the needs of people and for the needs of the church and the society? Could it be that the reduced emphasis on prayer meeting has also resulted in the reduced impact of God's word in society? Because we're missing out on the opportunity to pray. I wonder how many programs have replaced the power once garnered from the prayers of the saints. We say, well, we'll have this program because we need to have this exciting thing to attract people because we don't have any impact anymore. Is that because? These are just thoughts that, as a pastor, I think going through, are these just things that we have done to replace the power that's lacking because we don't pray together as a church like we used to pray, and I say used to as in churches used to meet together for prayer. And prayer meeting was a priority of the church. Could it be the deceiver, knowing the power of prayer, has encouraged our busyness and made it less convenient to attend the midweek service? You know, the deceiver, the devil, he knows the power of prayer. You know, he's made us a busy society. He's made us a busy people. And we are wrapped up in this busy world where sometimes we feel like the proverbial, you know, mouse on the little wheel where we're just keeping going around and around and around and around and around and around and around. You know, the devil has done a masterful job, I think, of busying our lives to the exclusion of the things that we ought to be involved in, the things that really will count for eternity. So as I pondered the priorities of life and ministry and the church, I began to think about the basis for our church services. Why do we meet? God doesn't say in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt have church on Sunday morning at, you know, 10:30 or 11 o'clock, and Sunday evening at 6 or 7, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and, you know, if you're just kind of borderline, you know, you can have it on Thursday night, you know, whatever. God doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It doesn't say thou shalt have these church services. And so sometimes we realize that we have made these the regular services of the church. We realize that we have made Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we've made those the typical church services. And so we have to ponder and say, where do they have their foundation? Where do they have their basis in the Word of God? Are they just traditions of men? Or are these God-ordained meetings? When we have those meetings, is the format something that has to be that same format? Well, we know obviously it isn't. I remember when I was in Bible college and our pastor told us, he said, you know, you'll go to other churches and they'll have, you know, instead of having maybe four hymns, they'll have three hymns, or they'll have, you know, two hymns before prayer instead of one hymn before prayer. You know, don't feel like that's compromise. That's not change. And, you know, it's good to think, because sometimes you go, isn't it? As a young Christian, you may grow up in a particular church. You may get saved in a particular church and you go. And the way that your church does it is the right way, because that's the way you grew up and that's the way you learn. And then you go somewhere else and, oh, they did it differently. Is that okay? You know, we have to realize where do we get these things from? Well, we need to have our foundation for the things that we do in the Bible. And of course, there is foundation for singing and church services and preaching in church services and having church services. These things are found in the Bible. And so we see that the church met to worship in Bible times. It's recorded in the book of Acts that they came together on the first day of the week. And on the first day of the week, they even had long sermons. So when the preacher preaches long, Paul preached long on the first day of the week. So long that somebody fell out of the window because he fell asleep in church. Fortunately, nobody sits in the windows. We shouldn't have that problem here. But we see these foundational things in the Word of God for meeting upon the first day of the week, for singing together, for breaking bread, for having sharing the Lord's table, and for giving offerings. These things are found certainly in the Word of God. And we also see that they did meet for prayer. And when they prayed, great things were accomplished. Great things happened when they met together as the church and prayed. So it's with these thoughts in mind that over the next few weeks, the next few Sunday nights, Lord willing, we'll preach about when the church prays. I've chosen to begin in Matthew chapter 18 because I think this is one of the places we see where Jesus sets the precedent for that corporate prayer, that agreeing in prayer together. So Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus said, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can spend together in your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that this time would be a time we'd be drawn closer to you. I pray, Lord, this time would be a time that we give thought to what it means to pray together as a church and what it means to have prayer, of course, in our own lives as well, and realize the opportunity that we have and the effect that praying together has as a church. For you have ordained it to be that way, and I pray that we see that tonight through your word and that we'd be challenged in our own lives to make a priority, to make a prayer meeting a priority and to make prayer in our own lives a priority that you've given it to us to be. And so speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see here in our text is really the basis for prayer meeting. As we said, it's important to see the biblical basis for prayer meeting. If we don't have solid foundations for what we do, really we're on shaky ground. If we just think we do things just because it's always been done that way, that's really not good enough reason to do those things. Jesus spoke of the significance of meeting together for prayer here in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. We know that Jesus set the example of prayer. We mentioned that in the message this morning. He prayed with his disciples. He prayed by himself. They heard him pray. They witnessed him pray. They knew he went to pray, and sometimes he prayed all night. And they asked him then, teach us to pray. Jesus spoke of prayer to the disciples, and as we mentioned this morning, giving us Matthew chapter 6, amongst other portions of Scripture that deal a lot on different aspects of prayer and how we should pray and how we should look at prayer and so on. But if we look at Matthew chapter 6, and no doubt you've read it from time to time or heard it read and or looked at it, where Jesus says, when you pray, go into your closet, and when you're in secret, pray to your Father which is in secret, and he, seeing in secret, will reward you openly. And so we would look at that verse and we would say, well, from those verses, is Jesus saying then that we should just only pray by ourselves in the prayer closet, so to speak, in that time where we pray just ourselves alone and where nobody else knows what we pray about or anything like that? Well, while it is true that Jesus warns against public prayer being a means of showing off, we know that he doesn't speak against praying in public. And that's what we'll see in the message tonight. There are many times that prayer was made in public. Jesus is clear that prayer, no matter the location, is to be made to God, not for the benefit of other people, but for the benefit of the person praying to God. That's what prayer is about. It's not about what somebody else thinks of your prayer, that they say, oh wow, they're a really spiritual person. Did you hear the way they prayed? No, it doesn't mean that people can't learn sometimes from an older Christian praying. A younger Christian can learn to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. But the prayer of a saint ought not to be to impress the people that are in earshot of that prayer. But in Matthew 18 here, Jesus speaks of two or three gathering in his name and of agreeing on a request. And he says when that happens, the request is granted. He says that, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Now you could say, well, I will pray at my house and someone else will pray at their house and that will be two. We'll pray about the same thing. True enough. But Jesus says in the next verse, because that word is there, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So there's the thought that this is a gathering to pray of two or three people or more gathered together to pray about a particular need and a particular situation. And God said he would particularly answer that request. He would, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven, he says at the end of verse 19. And so this indicates the power of agreement in prayer. God makes many promises of personal prayer, but he makes a particular note here that two or three gathering in his name, he's in the midst, he honors their presence by being there himself, and also that the agreement in prayer will again mean that God will hear from heaven and grant the request of that prayer. A specific promise to the prayers of saints gathered in his name. It's a beautiful picture of the prayer meeting, isn't it, there, that Jesus says, I will be in the midst when you gather to meet together. Now, we know he dwells in every Christian. So he's always with us in that sense. But he says, I will especially be with you when you gather in my name and when you're agreeing on these things. Now, the prayer meeting, what do we normally do at prayer meeting? What we often do, we break up into groups of two or three. And we share a request together. And we agree about those requests together. We commit them to the Lord together. And what does Jesus say? He says, when you do that, I am in the midst and I will hear. Again, it's a beautiful picture to me of prayer meeting and what prayer meeting is really all about. There's no doubt that God does and has answered the prayers of prayer meeting. By his example and his instruction, Jesus gives a basis for meeting for prayer. Now, I know that as a young person getting saved when I was 12 years old and growing up in church, I was told it's good to be in every church meeting. And I made that a practice of my life to be in church meetings, whether it be special meetings, anything I could get to, I went to, except for the ladies' meetings. Anything I could get to, I went to. I felt that was what I was supposed to do as a Christian. And I was taught that way. And so prayer meeting has always been a part of my life from that aspect. And I don't say that to brag and to say anything like that, because what I do say is this. I say that although that has been the case throughout my whole Christian life, pretty much, that I have aimed to be at church for every service, including prayer meeting, I can honestly tell you that really God working in my heart and in preparation for this message really cemented in my mind and in my heart that prayer meeting is more than just meeting together just because we're supposed to meet in the middle of the week. God really burdened my heart and helped me to see, and I've been to prayer meeting all through the years, really not recognizing what I see in this message, what I've seen in studying for this message, is really the importance of being at prayer meeting. And so I can say to you, I've been because I felt like I should go to prayer meeting. I've led prayer meeting because I think prayer meeting is important, but studying for the message really in my own mind, in my own heart, has made me to realize that God really did give us prayer meeting. It's a great privilege. It's an important meeting for us to be at because of what we do when we meet together for prayer meeting. And I say that in some sense to my shame, because for 30 some years, I've been at prayer meeting just because I felt like I should go, and yes, I felt it's important, but really not seeing that God says, I've given you this opportunity to meet together, to share these requests, and I will answer those things in a special way. So Jesus gave us the verses here that we can see that they can clearly relate to prayer meeting, but we see also the example of the early church, and we'll turn over to the book of Acts chapter 1 this evening, but let me reference some other places in the book of Acts and other places in the New Testament where we see the early church and how they met for prayer. The example of the early church, Jesus' disciples recognized the value of prayer meeting and continued the practice after his resurrection. Now remember that Jesus' disciples were a lot like us. Remember what they did at one of the first prayer meetings that we see they were present at? When they were in the garden praying, what were they doing? What we often find ourselves doing. They were sleeping, weren't they? When they should have been praying, they were sleeping. Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? But it would seem, as we look in the book of Acts, that the disciples came to realize there's importance in meeting for prayer. In Acts chapter 1, as we will see in the message tonight, they met in the upper room and prayed as they waited for the Holy Spirit. They met together. And what did they do while they met? They met to pray. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in prayers as they met together. As we look at the end of chapter 2, after on the day of Pentecost, many people were saved, and they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers as they met together from house to house. They met together as a church. Acts chapter 4, it records that they, having been threatened and persecuted, they went to their own company. And what did they do when they got back with their own group of people, the believers? They prayed. In Acts chapter 6, the disciples spoke of giving themselves continually to prayer and fasting. And they prayed over who would be the deacons, those who would help out in the ministry, the practical ministries of the church. In Acts chapter 12, many gathered at Mary's house to what? To pray, as the church gathered to pray. Prayer was made of the church for Peter. They gather together to pray. In several of his epistles, Paul requests prayer of the churches to whom he is writing. The indication is that they would pray both individually and together as a church. They would meet together and they would pray for Paul as he carried about his ministry and went about. Though no particular day is mentioned, as a matter of fact, they seem to meet daily for all kinds of reasons. No particular day is mentioned, and the format is not stated. In other words, it doesn't say that they have Bible study first and then divide up into groups of two or three to pray. That's not said there in the Bible. But the thought of prayer meeting, the thought of gathering together as a church to pray, clearly is found and seen in the early church. And so we come to Acts chapter 1 this evening to look at some thoughts here from verse 12 down to the end of the chapter about results of the prayer meeting. And that's what the next few messages really will be, taking different examples of when the church met to pray and how God answered those prayers and how great things were accomplished through that. And so tonight we will begin here in Acts chapter number 1. I will give you this quote also. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of years gone by, said that prayer is the breath of faith and prayer meetings are the lungs of the church. Now, I know that lungs are important, because when mine collapsed a few months ago, it didn't feel so good. Prayer is the breath of faith. Prayer meetings are the lungs of the church. It said that while he preached, and we look at the example of Charles Spurgeon, thousands of people being in the building, tens of thousands, so much so that hard for us to think, but he told people that came on Sunday morning, don't come back Sunday night because there's so many more people that want to hear, that we want to give them chance to hear as well. I mean, I would never say, don't come back Sunday night. We might not have enough room. We'll make room. Okay, we got lots of room in here. But he told people not to come back. But it said that while he preached, that he had under the pulpit in a room in the next level down under the pulpit, it said that he had men gathering to pray while he preached, and he called that the furnace room, to give the power to preach. Whilst he was preaching, there were people praying for the moving of God in the congregation. So Spurgeon recognized the need of prayer, the need of prayer meetings. But tonight we look at this one prayer meeting here in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. And the Bible says here, then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of his ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that field is called in their proper tongue Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The result of the prayer meeting. What is the result of the prayer meeting that took place here in the book of Acts? I'd say to you, first of all, there was the unity of saints. The unity of saints was a result of this prayer meeting. We look in verses 12 to 14, those people that were gathered together and how they met together, and there was unity, the Bible says, in their midst. After his resurrection, Jesus had commanded the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the gift and power of the Holy Spirit. As they waited, what did they do? They prayed together. They spent time in prayer. They assembled to pray. They are said to have been in one accord. That wasn't the Honda variety. That meant that they were united together in one accord. They had one vision, one mind, one goal was what it was that they were desirous in. They were unanimous. As Jesus had said in Matthew 18, they were in agreement with one another. They met together and they were in agreement over the things that they were praying about. They were in one accord. There was unity in their midst. Now listen, this group of people was a diverse group. We just read verse 13, who was living in the upper room or staying in the upper room. It says that they gathered together to pray with the women. So it wasn't just the disciples, as we see in verse 13. The women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, his brethren, the physical half-brothers and sisters, we'd say, of Jesus. And it says in verse 15, there was about 120 of them gathered together. That's a diverse group of people, isn't it? That's different walks of life. Tax collector, fisherman, all different aspects of family connections and so on. They met together and they were of one accord. How? In prayer. Prayer brought them together. Prayer brought their different personalities together. Think about it. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, the 12 were in disagreement with one another. What? How come James and John, how come they think they should sit beside Jesus? We want to sit beside Jesus. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? They couldn't agree on that with the 12. But here we come to Acts chapter 1 when they met together to pray and they were in one accord. I think prayer did a great thing. I think prayer brought them together. Prayer gave them a one desire and one goal of things that they wanted to see accomplished. The early church was often said to be in unity. Again, a remarkable feat because you think of the diversity of the early church. And as it grew and thousands were saved, and yet it still says that they were of one accord. How? Well, often they met for prayer. Don't we think that prayer had a part of bringing that unity together? The church is called to be in unity. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, how can we be in unity when we're different people, we're different ages, there's men, there's women, there's boys and girls, and there's people that are retired, and there's people that aren't working yet, and there's people that are working, there's people that work jobs that are very toilsome labor, and there's people that work jobs that are office kind of related, and not saying that they're not hard jobs, just a different kind of toil and labor. We say all kinds of different things. There's family members, and then there's people who, have a few family members here. There's people who just have one, maybe, or one or two people together. How can we all be in one accord? Well, I say to you, judging by what we see here in the book of Acts, one great starting place is praying together. That we learn to pray and have the same desires and the same goals. To work together in as one body with many parts is not always easy as a church, but we can help that along by prayer, by praying together. Praying together brings unity because we share requests that we can agree on and that we do agree on. It brings a common goal. We share together some prayer requests, and sometimes we do that same morning, but on Wednesday night particularly, say we need to pray for this person because they're struggling with this, or this person has this need, or this person needs to be saved. And we say, yes, we agree with that. We want to pray together about that, and it brings a unity together over some things and some goals that we have. The common goal is the well-being of those for whom we pray, the salvation of the lost, the healing of the sick, the meeting of the needs of those who have needs. Praying together brings unity for that reason. Praying together brings unity because when we pray, we're all seeking the same thing and we are submitting to God's will and not our own. No longer am I looking for what I want. I'm praying for the need of what somebody else needs, and I'm praying, God, please minister to what you see as the need of this person. We're not looking for our own agenda, but God's. praying together brings unity because we recognize, hey, we are all equal before God, and we are just meeting together as a group of sinners saved by grace to see what God can do in the situation. It brings unity. And so we see that unity was brought to this church, the early church, as they met together to do what? To pray. Unity is a result of prayer. We see that God's wisdom and direction also is a result of prayer. What did the church do here? They met together to pray, and while they were praying, Peter said, hey, we have a need that needs to be met. We have some direction that we need God to show us what He wants us to do. How are we going to know who the right person is to take Judas's place? And so they prayed. Peter presented the necessary business, an important matter of business. The criteria was given, and it came down to a choice between two people. How are you going to get 120 people to agree between on one person of the two? Well, what did they do? They prayed about it. Peter presented the business. They'd already been praying. Peter presented this need, and the Bible says that they prayed, and they said, Lord, You know whether of these two it is that You want for this. And so they prayed for God to show them who it would be. Their decision could easily have been divided, and could easily have divided that young church. There could have been people on both sides. Remember Paul when he didn't want to take Timothy and Barnabas, or not Timothy, excuse me, John Mark and Barnabas, when he said, I want to take him. There was those two men, great godly men, they were divided. Here, 120 people were in agreement over which one. Why? Because they prayed for God to show the direction. The church praying together brought unity. It didn't divide the church. It brought them together. Their sincere desire was that God would reveal His will. The prayer meeting brought them to a consensus. They wanted what God wanted for them. And God answered their prayers by, as they did in verse 26, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. God gave the direction there and showed what His will was, what in answer to prayer. It's important for us to realize that when the church prays together in true submission to God's direction, He leads and guides in the decisions that need to be made. God wants the church to know His wisdom. It says in Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God wants the church to know His wisdom. How are we going to know that wisdom? I say to you tonight, when we pray together, God leads and directs in His wisdom. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If God says in James 1, verses 5 and 6, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How much more would God say to the church, Church, if you lack wisdom, pray together, ask for My wisdom, and I will grant you wisdom as you pray together and seek My face together. There are many areas where the church needs the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God in leadership. We need the wisdom of God in outreach. How are we going to impact the world? How are we going to reach out into our community? What do we invest our time in? What do we invest our efforts into as far as the work of the church goes? What's the best way that we can reach people? God knows what the best way is. God knows what the best way is for our church to reach our community and our neighbors and our co-workers and our friends. And so, what do we need to do? We need to pray together and say, God, we want You to direct us and give us that wisdom. Programs of the church and maintenance of the building. There's only so many dollars to go around. What do we spend? What do we invest? God, help us. God, guide us. God, give us wisdom. We can't afford to make decisions without the wisdom of God for fear that we'll end up in a mess like Israel when they asked not counsel of the Lord, when the Gibeonites came along and said, look, we're from a faraway place and we want to make a league with you. And so look, this bread, when we left, it was fresh out of the oven. Now look, it's moldy. That's how long it's taken us to come here. See, our shoes are worn out. When we left, they were in great condition. And now they're worn out. That's how far away from You. And they asked not counsel of the Lord, and they made a league with them, only to find out shortly thereafter they were just from a couple days' journey, and they shouldn't have ever made a league with the Gibeonites. Because they asked not the wisdom of God. When the church prays, God's direction is seen. And when the church prays, the church goes forward. Having chosen Judas's replacement under God's direction, the church was in a position to move forward. Realize this was an important step for them. How discouraging it must have been for the church to lose Judas. I mean, for the disciples' point of view, he was one of them. They realized that he really wasn't one of them. Jesus explained that to them after, but they had always thought Judas is one of us, and now he's gone. He needs to be replaced. It had been a setback when he was found out to be the deceiver and left, and now he needed to be replaced. It was important that they would replace him so that they could move forward. When they prayed, God directed them and replaced Judas, and so they could move forward. They were in a position to move forward. How do we get through the disappointments of life and ministry? We need to pray through them. Pray, God, we need to keep moving forward. There's discouragements and things that will pull us back and draw us back and say, how can we move forward? We need to gather together and we need to pray and seek God's face. And as we seek God's face and He directs us, we can move forward with His direction in doing so. When the church is prayed up, it can put defeat behind and is ready to advance. God doesn't want the church to wallow in discouragement or be stagnant. We're to be advancing, moving forward. And so God says, by example of the church here in Acts chapter 1, when you pray together, it brings unity. When you pray, it gives direction. When you pray, you're ready to move forward for me and see great things accomplished. You know, the only safe way to advance is when we know that God is leading us. Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. The prayer meeting will help us to be ready to move forward for the Lord. There's no doubt that prayer is neglected by Christians today, myself included. We are guilty of neglecting the greatest resource that we have, and that is prayer. Both personally and together as Christians, prayer is powerful as God's way of meeting needs. All around us we see the prayer meeting has been relegated to back seat, and its result is seen both inside and outside the church. We, and again I include myself, have lost sight of its significance. We've been duped by the enemy to think it's just, if there's time, I guess I'll show up to prayer meeting. When according to what the Bible tells us, it's an important meeting of the church, to meet together, to pray together. See, when the church prays, great things happen. The prayer meeting will bring unity, garner God's direction, and prepare us to advance. Let's recognize the importance of this little meeting called the prayer meeting. Let's pray together.